Matthew chapter 4. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so we're back in our series, Love 2012, Love for Christ, Love for Christians, Love for the Community. Today is our second message on loving Christ. How do we love Christ? Well, we love Christ by receiving Him. That was the first message, inviting Him into our life to be our Savior and Lord. And today we love Him by obeying Him when He says, come, follow me. Father in heaven, this morning I pray that we would be receptive to the instructions of your word, that Father, you would take your word this morning and just penetrate it, allow our hearts to saturate it, and let us receive it with a ready spirit, I pray, in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Have you received Him? Have you invited Him to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your Master? And are you following Him today with a whole heart? Are you following Him? There's a song that we used to sing in our youth group. It was entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And it has a couple of stanzas that I want to read to you. The first stanza says, I have decided. I've driven the tent peg in the ground. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And then the last stanza reads, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at three sections of scripture found in the book of Matthew where Jesus talks about following Him. And each passage provides for us some insight as to what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it actually means to follow Him. Our first passage is Matthew 4, 18 through 25. And we read these words. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their net and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. First of all, in your outline this morning, come follow me. That's the call of Jesus Christ. Come follow me. And Jesus calls people from ordinary lives this morning. Look at verse 18 there. It says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is just walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers. And then drop your eyes down to verse 21. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. These two sets of brothers were unaware of just how radically their lives were about to change. But they were. They were about to become a part of something bigger than they could ever dream. And the same is true today. Do you and I want to be a part of something larger than anything we could ever dream to be a part of? You can be if you will surrender to the will of Jesus Christ wholeheartedly to follow Him. These two sets of brothers were fishermen. And when Jesus spotted them, they were either casting their nets in the water to catch fish, or they were in the boat mending the net with their father. And these men fished all day for fish. And they would take their fish probably to the local fish market and sell it. They were ordinary fishermen. And Jesus Christ calls ordinary people to follow him from ordinary walks of life. Secondly, Jesus will provide the greatest purpose. Look at verse 19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then again, drop your eyes down to the end of verse 21. It says, he called them. You see, the greatest purpose is not the acquisition of wealth. The greatest purpose is not material possessions. The greatest purpose is not retiring with a gold watch after giving your life for 35 years to the company store. But it is in reaching people with the gospel, the good news, the message of Jesus Christ. And if you know how to fish, you catch fish. But are you aware that you will also be well on your way to knowing how to hook men with the life-saving message of the gospel? See, wherever, whatever you do in your daily walk, you will be allowed to reach people under your sphere of influence. And I want to encourage you to fish in your pond. Fish in your pond. Fish in your lake. Fish in your ocean. Fish in your stream. Some of you have a much greater influence, a sphere of influence than others. Some people just have a little pond that they're fishing out of. Other people have a huge lake, and others are out in an ocean of influence. But I encourage you, don't use anything as a cop-out. I just don't have an influence in anybody's life. Just think of what God could do at Spirit Lake Baptist Church if individuals would go, which is a part of the Great Commission. If individuals would just go and let God use them in reaching people around them. And are you aware that each one of us has been called from the ordinary into the extraordinary? Isn't that an interesting idea? That God's called us from just an ordinary life to an extraordinary life. And Jesus will ask, thirdly on your outline, Jesus will ask for the ultimate sacrifice. Look at verse 20. And they immediately left their net and followed him. And then down in verse 22. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. What would you be willing to forsake today in order to follow Jesus Christ? What would you be willing to give up today to follow him? If God called you into full-time Christian ministry, would you be willing to leave your place of employment today? I had a nephew who was telling me all the time, every time I was on the phone with him, how God was calling him into Christian ministry. And you know what? I'm not trying. He's a great guy. And I kept telling him, listen, God can use engineers and power plant companies. You don't have to be in full-time Christian ministry to be in full-time Christian service. But he kept telling me how God was calling him into the pastorate. But he got so comfortable making his daily bread, so comfortable making that paycheck, that he forsook the idea of going into the ministry and just stayed working as a power plant manager. And that's all right. But my point is, what would you be willing to give up if God did call you into full-time Christian ministry? Would you forsake your employment? Would you be willing to give up your weekends? Would you be willing to give up your toys? Young people, would you be willing to give up your Xbox? Serious, would you be willing to give up the Xbox to be involved in full-time Christian ministry, full-time Christian service? What are you willing to give up right now to follow Jesus Christ? You see, the mistake we make is thinking that if we sacrifice, that our lives are going to be miserable. We're just going to be miserable. God's going to send me to the darkest spot on the planet. And people are going to be weird. And it's going to be, life's going to be miserable for me there. That's so far from the truth. You see, in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And no one has given up more for following Jesus Christ than they haven't received back in dividends. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 18. I want you to see this for yourself. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 28. Listen to what Peter, the apostle Peter, has to say to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 18, verse 28. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Peter said, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. I mean, that's a dual benefit, is it not? The present time and eternal life in the age to come. You see, if you and I would be willing to forsake it all, God says, I will give you all. Sometimes we miss that. Jesus will call great multitudes to follow him. In Matthew 4, verse 25, it says, great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and beyond the Jordan. You see, Jesus Christ carried out the will of the Father while he was here on earth, and that's exactly what he's asking from each one of us today. Will we carry out his will here on earth? Great multitudes followed him. And then it gives us a list of the cities or the towns of people that followed him. And if you and I would, but we'd be willing to follow Jesus Christ, if we would be willing to give 100% surrender to him, just think of the number of people that our lives would impact, our lives would influence, the people that our lives would brush up against on a daily basis, who would also become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ because they see in our lives that we too have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great multitudes followed him. Let's move along to our second passage. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The cost of following Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 34. Matthew 10 verse 34. Do you not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The cost of following me. Jesus will often bring division within families there. You see, to follow Jesus Christ means that you and I must make a decision, and that decision may or may not affect our immediate biological families. I want to give you an illustration. There's a man in this church today who has so radically changed after giving his life to Jesus Christ that his daughter doesn't like him anymore. This man had to make a choice: follow Christ or cave into the pressure of his daughter. And he has chosen the greater, Jesus Christ. And his daughter today feels rejected from him. He hasn't rejected her, but she surely has rejected the Jesus Christ this man is following. Let me give you another illustration. In some religions, Islam and Judaism, if a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, that person is looked upon by their family as having died. And some of those religions actually will have a funeral service for that family member. And they'll go through all the motions as if their family member has died. And are you aware that the enemy to your faith in Jesus Christ may become your own immediate family? Shortly after I had come to faith in Christ, I went home to share the gospel with my own family. I started sharing the gospel with my stepfather, and my mother and my stepfather stopped me. And this is what he said to me: it may be good and well for you, but don't you share that Jesus stuff with me. And then he added, I'm just glad you're not a Mormon. But my stepfather shut me down. He didn't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. And you and I cannot love our families more than we love Jesus Christ either. So get this down. What you love has your heart. What you love has your heart. And Jesus Christ must have your whole heart, Colossians 1:18. He must have preeminence in our life. If our families have our hearts, we are not worthy of Jesus Christ. If we love our children more than we love Christ, we're not worthy to be His followers. Jesus must have first place. Look down, if you would, at verse 38. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And here Jesus speaks about the individuals unwilling to take up his cross and to follow him. That person is unworthy of him, the scripture says. And the cross is an implement of torture. An implement of torture. In modern America, we have turned it into a piece of cosmetic jewelry that we wear. The cross must always be seen as a tool of death. People were crucified on the cross. They died on the cross. No one suffered for a brief time and then was removed from the cross. No, when they were nailed to a cross, they died there. And each one of us may be called upon to die to our families. And we must be willing to take up that cross. Are you willing to do that? Look at verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, if you find the purpose of life through Jesus Christ, you will then become willing to lose it for his purposes. For the purposes of Jesus Christ. And if you're willing to spend, if we're willing to spend our lives for Christ, that means to be sold out to him completely, fully surrendered. Then when all is said and all is done in the end, we will have truly discovered what life was all about. For it will be there that we will have found it. Do we understand that? I'm not sure we understand discipleship in America today. Christians in America, I'm not sure we understand what it truly means to be a disciple of Christ. I'm not sure we fully understand what it means to follow him today. But turn to our last section of scripture in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24, because here he talks about taking up your cross and following him. In verse 24, Jesus speaks to his disciples. Look at this verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ this morning? Now, don't answer that flippantly or haphazardly. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you following him? A disciple is a person who takes on the heartbeat of their master. Have you picked up the heartbeat of Jesus Christ? And it is imperative that you are in your Bible, because it's there that we discover the heartbeat, bump, 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 of Jesus Christ. Jesus is addressing his disciples. And if you are his disciples, then he's addressing a message to you today. People ask me all the time, well, Pastor Kim, how do you know when God is speaking to you? I say, well, open up the Bible. Read the scriptures. And here's a perfect example. Then Jesus said to his disciples. He is speaking to his followers right now in this service. He's speaking to each one of us. And Jesus lays it out, what it means to be a disciple, in verses 24 and 25. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Do you have a desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Now be careful how you answer that as well. Are you following Jesus because you recognized that you had a need for him in your life? Or are you following him today to please a family member? Are you following him today to please a parent? Are you following him today to please a sibling? Well, my brother asked me to go to church, and so I'm in church with him because he's asked me to be here. Follow him for yourself. Otherwise, you're not really following him at all. Why are you in church today? You see, you must answer that question for yourself. Why are you in church today? Well, you know, it's just a habit I got into as a family. You know, we just go to church. Are you in church today because you are a follower of Jesus Christ? You are a disciple of Christ? When I was saved on November 14th, 1976, I had a desire to follow him. I didn't fully understand all the ramifications of what it meant to follow him, but I gave my heart to him, and I have a desire this day to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my desire, to follow him. You must solidify this question in your heart this morning. Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? If you really desire to follow Jesus Christ, then you must be willing to deny yourself. Deny yourself. That means that you're willing to sacrifice the temporal for the eternal. Sacrifice the present for the future. We live in a world that doesn't know much about denying self either. What was the last thing you gave up for yourself and sacrificed for another human being? What was the last thing you gave up so that you could sacrifice for another person? Jesus Christ gave up his life. The Bible says, greater love has no one than this, than one will lay down his life for his friends. That's a great sacrifice. The disciple is willing to take up his cross to follow Jesus Christ wherever it takes him. Wherever it takes him. To take up the cross means that you're willing to carry the cross and die where Jesus places you. To die where he places you. Dwayne and Nadine Howe have spent their lives in Brazil. They left a comfortable life in Idaho in the 1960s and have been in Brazil ever since. Debbie and I came to Spirit Lake, and it's going on 18 years. And Debbie and I plan to give our lives to the work here at Spirit Lake because this is where God has called us. Don Lang, one of the directors of missions for the Inland Empire Baptist Association, made the following statement at one of our meetings. He said, go where you are sent, stay where you're put, and use what you have. And that is great advice for a follower of Jesus Christ. In verse 25, it says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We are reminded that to save our lives, we must lose them. And whoever loses his life for the sake of Jesus Christ in the end shall find it. You see, real life is found in following Jesus Christ. We're not living a real life unless we are actually following him every day. Here's the bottom line. We will not completely understand what it means to live until we die to self, and it is in dying to self that we really begin to live. Are we really living? Will you die today? Will you die today? And Jesus talks about the great exchange in verse 26. It says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The great exchange. Now listen. Earlier this week, my wife and I were in Coeur d'Alene. And I don't know why God does this to me, but all of a sudden I started looking around and I just saw extreme materialism everywhere I looked. I mean, super big monster trucks that people are driving down the road that they need a ladder to get into. I wonder in my mind, how in the world could they afford to keep a truck like that on the road today? I'm in a store and they're advertising. They got this beautiful four-wheeler, $10,000 four-wheeler. Super large bus types motorhomes going down the road. I look over at Coeur d'Alene Lake and I see these massive homes that are five times larger than anything our parents ever dwelt in. And I look around and it was a day, I don't know what day it was, but it was a day in which excessive shoppers were acquiring more stuff that they don't need to impress people they don't know and spending money that they don't have. You can gain the whole world. Whoopee! You can gain the whole world. Big deal. But what will you be willing to exchange for your soul? A fishing boat? Another home in another state? Travel across America? Toys galore? Why not sacrifice your life for something greater than the temporal? Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just what is a man willing to exchange for his soul? Is not your soul worth more than anything this world has to offer? Are you not willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice the future for the present right now? Are you willing to have it all now and forfeit everything that God has in store for you in the future? I beg of you. I plead with you, like the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where he says, "I beg of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." Jesus will reward us, look at verse 27, on the basis on our works. It says, "For the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Now the Bible tells us that each one of us one day will give an account for the way in which we have lived. And that verse tells us that Jesus Christ is going to return, and when he returns, he's going to reward us based on what we've done. Our works. Now we're not saved by our works. But Ephesians 2:10 is really clear that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus on two good works. As followers of Jesus Christ, we've been called by God to actively engage our world, buying up opportunities to do good around us, wherever we find ourselves. See, Acts 10:38 tells us that Jesus went around doing good. Went around doing good. And we're all called to be engaged in good works. Random acts of kindness can powerfully impact people's lives. So whose lives do you want to radically impact? Look at verse 28. Jesus will one day establish his kingdom. "Surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This world is not our home. We are only passing through. We are pilgrims on a journey. Do we understand that today? You are living in a tent. I am living in a tent. One day our tents will come down. Do not drive your tent peg so deep in this soil that you're not ready for the life to come. Prepare today for eternal life tomorrow. So can I ask you if you are living for the here and the now or the life after this temporary life? You know, each week as I wrap up a sermon message, I try to provide some take-home truths. Take-home truths that are practical and applicable for our lives. And I want to do that today as well. Number one. Jesus Christ is calling us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. He's calling each one of us from ordinary lives. I look out and I see, I could name occupations in this service. He's calling us out of our occupations, out of ordinary to the extraordinary. Will we follow him? Will we follow him? Next on your outline, Jesus Christ is asking us to surrender everything and at the same time promises to return everything to us. Will we trust him in that? Will we follow him? Thirdly, Jesus Christ is telling us to take up our cross and to die where he plants us. Are you willing to take that cross and die where he plants you? Will we follow him? Number four, Jesus Christ is saying to us to lose our lives in him and to find our lives in him. Do you want to find your life? You must first be willing to lose it in Christ. Will you follow him? And then number five, Jesus Christ reminds us that this world is not our home. We're only passing through. Okay? Therefore, lay up treasure in heaven. Invest in the eternal. Will we follow him? Years ago, I said in a church service, Pastor Royal Blue was speaking, and he shared this poem. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and seek me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. Father in heaven, I ask this morning that we would understand that to love Jesus Christ means that we're willing to immediately leave our boat, to immediately leave our nets, to immediately leave our family, to immediately leave whatever it might be that would hold us back from following you. And Lord, maybe there is someone struggling in this service today, an area in their life that they're not willing to leave to follow you. I pray that you'll give them that victory. Let there be that breakthrough this morning in their lives. And Father God, if there is an area in our life where we need to confess to you that we are driving that tent peg down deeper and deeper every day because we're kind of happy with what we have, Father God, how I pray that we would recognize that you're asking us to follow you. That we need to surrender, not just be committed, but we need to be surrendered to Jesus Christ and to follow him. What a life, Lord. If we would lose our life in you, we would actually find them. I can only assume that there are a lot of Christians trying to find their lives. And they're missing it because they just are not willing to die and to be buried and to have that life in Christ. Lord, give us that life, I pray this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen.